Okay, so with Siyata Deshmai, I want to discuss the first sugya. The sugya is actually a sugya that we've been seeing already from Parshas Lech Lecha, and it comes straight through this past week's Haftorah and Vayira to the beginning of this week's Parsha. And that's our relationship to both accepting presents and money in general. How do we view, as Jews, what's the hashkafa? What's our Weltanschauung when it comes to money? And it seems to be there's a dialectic, which means there's a contradiction. It's not clear. For example, if we start off, let's start off at the end, which is if you open up to Chayesara, okay, or Soloveitchik always taught us, if you read his book, meaning I'm through his Talmidim, says anytime you read the Tanakh, you have to be able to, as if you've never seen it before. It's the first time. It's like your first time. So if you read the beginning of Chayesara, Vayu Chayesara, Mea Shana, Vesrim Shana, Veshev Shanim, Shnei Chayesara, she dies. Vayavo Avraham, Lispol Lissarav, Livkota. Vayakam Avraham, Meal Pnei Meito, Vayidibra, Benechit, Lemor, Ger, Vetoshev, Anochim, Achem, Tenuli, Achuzat Kevrim, Achem, Vekbara, Meiti, Melfanai. Okay, so he even says, Tenuli. So the simple pshat is, he's saying, okay, the simple pshat is, he says, tenuli, which sounds like almost give it to me as a matana. Okay? Now, you could say that that's lav dafka, maybe tenu means that I want to acquire it. Okay? Vayanu v'nechet et avram le'mor shema enu, namin pasuk vav, adoni nesi elokim atah betochenu, b'mivchar kvarenu kvored meitecha, ish vimenu et kivro lo yichlem imcha mikvor meitecha. Take the choicest one. Right? The best of the best. It's yours. Vayakam Avram, he says, thank you. Vayishtach alam arz nechet, vayidibar yitam le'mor. If you meet this guy from Metzohar, v'yitenli. Again, he used the language of v'yitenli. Et me'arat ha'machpila asher lo asher b'kseh sedeyu. But then he says what? He says, don't think I mean, it's not actually with what? Don't think it says a present, like which I would have thought when I read the first two times it says the word v'yiten. But what does it say? B'chesef male yitenen ali b'tochem l'achuzat kaver. What am I going to do? I'm going to pay big bucks, right? Because of my way. I don't want any gifts here. What happens? Efron Yavshev B'toch V'nechet, Vayan Efron Achitit Avram Be'azne V'nechet, L'vcho Be'esher Limor, Lo Adoni Shema'ini. Know that you said, as the Radak explains, for example, or the Rashi says, Lo Adoni, you're not going to buy it with what? You know, there's no money. No money. Lo Adoni Shema'ini, Hasadeh Natati Lach, Ve'ame'ara, Asherbo licha nitatia. He emphasizes what? You're not going to give big bucks, but rather, it's free. It's free. Not only the me'ara, like you asked, the cave, but also the field. Right? Natati already. It's as if I've given it to you already. Right? That's what Rashi and both the Radak, they all say that. They're all going to be what? Witnesses for this. Nitatia lach kvor meitecha. Sounds nice, no? Sounds good. What happens? No. Natati, kesef, the same natati, but what? Natati, kesef asadeh, kach mimeni. Vekborad miti shama. What does he say? No, thank you. Right? He says that what? I'm ready to give you the money. I have it here. I took out all the cash, all the pounds. They're already here.
So we're not allowed to accept gifts.
Oh, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what I want to talk about. Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, what?
Natan, that means to give, but it doesn't say
matana,
which is
gift. So I mean, it's referring to as a gift.
As a
gift. Okay. Yeah, but to put it into perspective, this is quite a sizable gift, you know. What about for smaller things?
Oh, good. You're already asking good questions. Very good. Okay. I'm just first pointing out, when you're reading the text here, you're reading this and you're like, one second, what's going on here? There's something going on behind the scenes, right? Between the lines here. Meaning, Avram first said, and it's almost like, again, at first glance, it sounds like he's saying, okay, give it to me. So again, you can read it as lav dafka, give it to me, when it says the word tenu. But then he clearly, as we read it, explicitly states that what? I want to buy it. He says it clearly. And then he says, lo adoni shmaini, I don't want it. No, not as a gift. Excuse me, not that you're going to buy it, but rather, I'm going to give it to you as a gift. And Avram Avinu says, absolutely not. I want to buy it. So there's, and if you keep reading, as we have learned, Vaydaber al afron baznei marz teimor achi matul ushmeini natati. He goes back and he says, Kesef asadek achi menevek rameti shama. So he goes back. And then what happens? All of a sudden, what does Ephron say? He doesn't say, no. I'll accept you for 5 pounds. All of a sudden, what happens? Adoni shemaini eretz arba miot shekel kesef bini vin chamahi vet meitecha kavur. What does he say?
He wants a huge price, 400 right? shekels.
Yeah, it's big bucks. He says, between two friends like us, right? Just forget about it. Hanachet amecher, forget about the money, right? I want to give it to you for free, right? What's your big deal? It goes back and forth. He's going back and forth. We're friends. What's the big deal?
But could you not say that, you know, God told Avram that when he'd take him out of the land, that he'd make him wealthy. So
good, therefore, he has
the money. So why doesn't he use it? It's God's money.
Good. We're going to get there in a second, I promise. Okay. Vayishma Avraham el Ephron. Vayishkol Avraham lefron et hakesef asher diber bazne vechet. Arba miot shekel kesef over lasocher. So what happens? He says that you should have taken it for free, but now what? Now what happens?
Now
that you offer to pay it, you got to pay big bucks. So the question is, what happened? What is going on in the right? What happened here? Why does he refuse to take the gift? Why does he refuse to take the gift? And how do we view money in general? Now, we've seen this before. Let's take a step back for a second. Because this could also be the... That's why I asked to see this also. How many tests was Avram tested?
Ten.
And does it go in ascending order or descending order?
Ascending
order. So what is the last test?
Vakeda.
Binding of Isaac. Okay, the same thing. Good. Yeah. And what else? Have you ever heard of a different Pirush? Crazy. Rabbeinu Yonah. Don't say I didn't teach you anything. Rabbeinu Yonah, on Pirkei Avos, on the Asara Doro, on the Asara Nisyonot, says, you should know the 10th test is Kvurat Sara. And he explains it, we can explain it differently, okay? There are different ways to explain it, and I'll ask you maybe what you think. It says, Shene Marlo, Kumi Talech Baretz, he explains why is this the 10th test. Because Hashem had promised him, "Hitalech ba'aretz la'arkal rachba." Get up and go, see Eretz Yisrael, the length, the width, kilecha tenena, and then ukeshemeita ishto, when his wife dies, lo matzava kom lekavra, ad shekan o, till he bought it, and still, v'lo hirher, he didn't have any type of theological doubt, lo dia to teach us how much kama chibato shel Avram Avinu. How much Avram loved God, I am an aseu legalut lebriot, to reveal to the people that he was a Yarei Elokim and he was Shalem lechol amidot. The problem with his pshat is still built into the pshat we said. He was like, oh, he was such a, even though Hashem had promised him that what happens, and he couldn't find the place, but again, if you read the Pasha pshat, what we just said right now, what do you mean? Ephron offered him for free. So it's not true. So we have to go deeper into understanding what this 10th test...
But also, at the most basic level, we knew Ephron was a nice character. So therefore, Avram...
Nice or not nice?
He wasn't a nice person.
Okay, good.
Therefore, why didn't... He said that, you know when someone does a favor for you and you know it's going to bite you back.
Ah, yefemo.
So yefemo. Why?
That, I think, is a classical answer. Before, even with this share, very good, Joey, which is that the reason why he wouldn't want to take it is because it's... Every matana that you have a strings attached.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We want to that's what there we're going to build into what we're saying. First, let me continue developing the thesis, but good. So within this, I want to talk about what is this big test. If not, I mean, Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a beautiful pshat. But we can maybe go deeper also, which is, if you had to choose between Akedas Yitzchak and Kvura Asara, he's saying the more difficult test was Kvura Asara. Correct?
No.
I would say the Akeda was
more. I think you would say, but he's saying it goes up in ascending order.
Yeah.
And so you have to figure out here,
what makes this
to stretch your mind here, what's the part?
Well, surely the more difficult part was that with the Akeda, he didn't actually kill his son. He just tied him up a little bit on top of a mountain, but with his wife, he actually buried her.
Right.
So surely the difficulty comes not in the potential for action, but in... actual action.
So but he didn't know he wasn't going to kill him.
Yeah, that's true. Also, human being.
In the terms of like when it came to the paramount of actually doing it, and he didn't. Surely that would be less difficult than actually physically burying your wife. Surely, okay, you brought him.
One definitely can argue what you're saying. Yeah. One could definitely argue.
But also, human beings struggle more with issues of morality than physicality. You know, this was Kafshan, which you never know about it, but this is, you know, killing your son. It's a physical act. But having to wrestle with this man over the mount, whatever, it's more of a morality issue. Because it's...
You think this is more of a morality
issue? Yeah.
Right. You say this, a lot of people would disagree with that also.
But if you have your Yirat Shamayim, then you believe that whatever happens, you know, he believed that what he was doing in the Arkada was right, whether or not he went through with the Arkada or not. But he knew that whatever was going to happen was going to happen to his son. He had.
So the truth is, I don't want to get into, even though I could and we could spend hours, is that a lot of the assumptions you made, which is the question of was he certain what he was doing, is Yirat Shamayim only when you have a complete certainty, or can you even have doubt and still be called a Yari Shamayim? I give a lot of shirim, hundreds of hours on Akedat Yitzchak, but I dafka want to speak more about the Kavurat Sarah and just a general picture of money, if you can. So without that, and I realize I set that up because I could have just had the shir just to say, let's contrast Akedat Yitzchak to that. But especially since we have a short time, I just want to direct it this way, which is there is clearly a struggle that's going on here between Avram and Ephraim that we've seen previously that Avram doesn't accept gifts also. Okay? And for whatever reason, which we're going to see, Joey talked about it before also, that maybe again the difficulty could be that after you lost your wife, your partner, and everything you've done, and you're all discombobulated. The first thing and last thing you don't want to do is have to handle with a used car salesman about burying your wife. Now, to be fair, it comes back to our question, which is, what do you mean? But this guy gave it to you for free. Back to our question. Where have we seen in the past, parshiot, Avram accepting gifts, not accepting gifts? Here it's clearly in the text, black and white, Avram says, no, thank you. I will pay, not only will I pay, I'll pay big bucks. And he says even bigger bucks. Okay. Where else have we seen that Avram said, no, thank you for your gifts? If we go back to Parshas.
Within Egypt.
But there, did he accept or not accept?
No, he didn't.
You sure?
No, it was something for Sarah to be taken.
But who's getting it?
I don't know.
Look, okay, so go back to Parshas Lach Lecha. If you go to Parshas Lach Lecha,
it was when he told Sarah to be his sister, not his wife.
Good, exactly. It's the beginning of Lach Lecha. Okay, Perikud Bet.
What gift was he offered?
Let's read it.
Ah, I get it. Pharaoh offered him a gift.
No, Sarah did not offer him a gift.
No, Pharaoh.
Pharaoh, good.
Offered him a gift so that to take Sarah, deal.
Almost. Look, Pasuk Yud, Perikud Bet, Pasuk Yud. It says, Vayira Baris. Okay, that's why you got to read Shnayim Mikra Vachatargum. Okay, it's a chiv. You know, it's a chiv. Chiv to go through Shnayim Mikra Vachatargum. Where is that? It's a Shulchan Aruch. Where is the Shulchan Aruch say it? This is any of my Talmidim know this. You ask them, they'll tell you. It's Siman Reish Pehe. How do you know it's Siman Reish Pehe? Read Parshat Hashavu. It's very easy. Every one of my Talmidim know that it's Siman Reish Pehe. Read Parshat Hashavu. Reish Pehe. You'll never forget that again. You can ask anybody over the last 5 years and my students. Last 5 years, they'll say, which one is I start off the year this way. Yeah. You know, every single, oh yeah, Reish Pei, hey, no problem. Okay, Vayira Ba'aretz, Vayered Avram Mitzrayim Ala Gursham, Ki Chaveira Rav Ba'aretz, Vayhi Kasher Yikriv Lavo Mitzrayim, Vayomar Sarai Ishto, Hinina Yadati, Ki Isha Yifat Marat, Vayak Yiru Otach Mitzrim, Vamru Ishto Zot, Vargu Oti, Vatach Yichayu, therefore what? Imri Nachotiyat, Leman Yitavli Vavurech, I'll be able to be alive. And what does it mean? Man yitavli vavurech, says Rashi. That what? Yitnu li matanot. They'll give me what?
Presents.
And there, it goes even further. So it sounds like he's taking these presents. And there's this foreigner here, I'm not going into it, but he accepts the presents. And then what happens? Paro finds out that, oh my goodness, wife and heir, the Pasuk in Yud Zayin says, Hashem brings these nigga'im gedolim. okay, where he couldn't touch her that night, okay, that and therefore what? And therefore, seemingly, he gives her back, right? Lama lo yigara talik ishtachahi, lama amarta achotihi, take your wife back. And then what should have the pasuk said? And Paro gave back, and Avram gave back the money. Avram doesn't give back the money. Avram keeps the money. And then, we skip ahead in this parsha on Lech Lecha, we have the miraculous war of the four kings versus the five kings. And then who gets captured? Avram's. Who gets captured? Avram. And what's Lot to Avram? His nephew. Good. Vayishma Avram, chapter 14, verse 14. Perek Yedal, Pasuk Yedal. Vayishma Avram, Kinesh Ba'achiv. He takes all the people out of the Beis Medrash. 318 of them. Vayirdof Adan. And what happens? They go and they win. Vayashav et kol rachush v'et kamul rachiv v'et ruchusho yishiv. V'gam et anashiv etam. Vayitzi Melech Sedom. Comes out. And then what happens? Keep reading the Psukim. Vayomer Melech Sedom el Avram, Pasuk Chafal, from Chamishi. Tein li anefesh varchush kachlach. Right? What does he say? Take all, I just want some of the whatever you got from the spoils, that's fine, you could take. Just give me the bodies. Okay? You can have the money. Vayomer Avram el Melech Sedom, I lift my hand. Hari moti yadi el Hashem el Elyon. He makes an oath, he says, he says, I, even any B'nai Akiva string, I don't want it. He says, I don't want it. I'm not taking a penny from you. That you shouldn't say, I caused Avram to be rich. Biladai, right, for me, etc., etc. Hey, Michu. And then he says, I'm not taking a penny. So we see, hold on, so now we have a contradiction. Right? What do we have? We have Avram, he takes money at the beginning, but and now he doesn't take here, and he also doesn't take it by Ephron. Not only that, if you saw the Gemara in Brachot, in this past week's Haftorah, which was Malachim, that Elisha comes back, you're right, if you want to go to the Haftorah, the Parshas Vayera, right? Go to the Haftorah, you should have the Haftorah at the end of Parshas Vayera. There, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud talks about the story in Malachim Bet, chapter 4. Just to read a couple of psukim, if you remember, it says that Elisha, it says, Vayi ayom vayavor Elisha el shunim, v'sham yisha gdola, v'atech zekbo lecho lechem, v'hi midei avro yasur sham lecho lechem. V'atom Elisha, he says, Hinei na yadati, she knows, this guy is an ish kadosh, she knows, however she knows now, that he's a Hine Nayadati. It sounds exactly like Hine Nayadati, Kishai Fat Mareat. Same language. Hu over Elinu Tamid. What does she say? Naase na aliyat kirktana. Let's go make a nice attic. And do what? Vinasim lo sham. We'll put up there like a guest room, right? Mita, Shulchan, Kisei Menorah. And when he, Elisha, will come constantly, what will happen? Vaya bevo Elinu, he'll go there. Vahi ayom, when Elisha came, vayvo shama. And he went up there. Okay, so the Gemara says from these five psukim, you should know harotzeh lehanot kelisha yehaneh. If you want to get hana from Elisha, like Elisha, then you can. Rashi says brishit brachot daf yudam bet ve'im kan isur. There's no isur. What type of isur? What does it mean isur? So we're starting of what?
Prohibition.
No prohibition. I'm saying what would be the prohibition
of taking the money?
Taking the money. Meaning, we have, this gets into what is our relationship towards money. Meaning, it's both in general, A, and B, this pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, Sonei matanot yichyeh. And there are many, many Gemaras in Baba Basra, and in Kiddushin, and Chulin, and in Sota, literally, that is dealing with this pasuk in Mishlei that says what? Sonei matanot yichyeh. And what I'd like to do for the next couple of minutes is, first of all, understand Avram's behavior. Understand Elisha. The Marsha asked this question. The Marsha, Marina of Shmuel Edels from Poland, from Tikhachin, asked this question. It says, what, I don't understand. How did Elisha do this? Don't we have many, many, many Marot and Psukim that we say, Sonei Matanos Yechia? So within this, first let's analyze, maybe, what is the sum of the differences of between Avram And well, even before that, let's take one step back, which is how do we view just in general money? Is money a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a neutral thing?
It's a neutral thing.
So it's a neutral thing.
I think it's dangerous. It's a bit like fire. It can be used for good and it can be used for bad.
Oh, so that would be the neutral.
It's not good or bad. It just can be used in different ways. So, yeah, like you said, with fire, it can be used for good.
So the Gemara actually, there seems to be there's a contradiction. Because the Gemara on one level, in Kiddushin on Daf Yud Zayin, says that Kesef is in lo bracha. It's the antithesis of bracha. Because the Gemara says, based on a pasuk by Eved Ivri, it says, Hanik tanik lo mitzoncha migarncha miikvecha. And the Gemara asked why. Those are the things you need to give an Eved Ivri. And then it says, why those? And it talks about that they have gidulei karka. And the Gemara says, to exclude, and that they're part of bracha, to exclude kesef. Because kesef ain't no bracha. So on one level, it's that money, there's no bracha. However, it seems to be there's more of a contradiction. What's the contradiction? Because we go back to the beginning again of Lech Lecha. Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha me'aretzcha me'malatcha b'beit avicha l'aretz asher arecha. And what does Rashi say vavarecha means? Money. I'm going to give you a bracha with money. Not only that, we say in Birchat Kohen, and what do we say? Yivarecha Hashem, v'yishmerecha, what's yivarecha?
Money.
So, hold on one second. Right? Not even Pidjon Ben. Money! I'm going to give you money. Yivarecha Hashem. When the Kohen give you a bracha, when it says Yivarecha, Chazal understand this to mean, you know what the bracha that the Kohanim are giving you is?
Money.
So which is it? So it's a big dialectic. Is money. There's a concept called HaKesef Ya'aneh Et HaKol. Pasuk in Koheles. Money answers everything. Hold on, before you add it. It says, Im Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. Which means, when it says flower here, what does it mean?
Money.
Ve'ahavta Et Hashem Elokecha. B'chol Levavcha. Uvechol nafshecha, uvechol. What does the word meodecha mean?
Plentiful.
Your possessions. Oh. Now, hold on one second. Good, plentiful. What does the word meodecha really mean before you say money? Meod. Meaning, when we're going to talk about money, there's no such thing as parif. When people talk about money, there's no. It's not a parif. I'm talking the mashkiach kashrut language here, right? Your lingo, right? There's no parif here. Bechol meodecha means meod, with all your might. Meaning there's a song that people sing on Friday night that says, Ka Echsof, Noam Shabbos. The word Kisufin means what? Yearning. That's the word Kesef. Doesn't only mean silver. It means the yearnings. Ka Echsof, Noam Shabbos. And it's the same words. Why? Because when you're talking about money, there's a certain visceral passion that people have. This is, and that's why Mamon, right? We say it's Mamon. We're saying Maod. And they say with B'chol Mamoncha. The Ramban there in Dvarim says, you know where it comes from, the word Mamon? How is that money? It's from the word Hamon, which means what?
Hamon.
A lot. I mean, again, in Mishle it says, how are you supposed to learn Torah? The mashal, the metaphor that is given is Im Tivakshena Kikesef. How are you supposed to be searching for a Torah? Like the same passion, the same yearning, the same depth, the same sincerity as a person is. Oev kesef, lo yispakesef.
What about the ultimate dilemma that I could think of with money? That, you know, modern day kapara, a lot of people use money for it. So you're using money to get rid of your bad sins, but then you're giving it to the poor people to be used beneficially.
Oh, so now you're already starting to give me an answer. You give me an answer. So we have this big dialectic.
It's like the Robin Hood effect.
Right? So the,
it's not
the,
quite like Robin Hood.
It is, because
explain.
You're not stealing from
No, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I am taking my bad sins and giving it to a poor person to use for good.
The same
way that first of all, no one ever said that money is this kaparas. We do have a concept called kaparas, which we do use with money. Okay, that's on Yom Kippur. So I'm not going into Robin Hood yet, but we'll talk about, you have that on Erev Yom Kippur, that either, you know, you can do it with chickens or you can do it with money. Now, what we are seeing is that one answer to it is definitely that, as I had said, money could be good, like you had said, and money depends how you use it. That I think is clear. That if you realize that money has the power to blind your vision, money could, the pasuk says in two different places. Number one is Hashochad Ye'aver Einei Chachamim, which means what? When you get a bribe, what does it do? It blinds your vision. money has that ability to take you and really blind your vision. There's another one where you come into Eretz Yisrael. It says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, which means that you get a lot of flats in Netanya. And then what happens? You become all fat with it. And then what do? Vayivat. What does that mean? Vayivat means that you kick. Now the kicking is an expression. So on one level, it's a simple expression of a certain zilzul, a certain belittlement. Of instead of recognizing that God gave you everything, you now say, I do whatever I want, it's kochivo, it's miyadi, I did everything. Vayishman yishun vayivat. So bita, when you kick something, it's like you're belittling them. That's the language in the Gemara in Shabbat that talks about bizui mitzvot. However, I think it's a different pshat connected to all of part one of our sugya here today, which is there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about the mitzvah of sukkah. Talks about that the goyim were very upset with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, why should the Jews only get Torah? Give us the chance. We should have gotten it. We can get the Torah. We could have been a good light unto other nations, right? Why not us? And the Gemara talks about how Yishmael, and it went through. But one of the other things the Gemara says is that, okay, God says, no problem. I'll give you an easy mitzvah. The mitzvah I'll give you is sukkah. Go, let's see what you do with it. And the Gemara says that God took out a very blistering sun, just again, comparable to the Hachnasat Orchim of Avram Avinu. And what happens? Not only do they leave the sukkah, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, but what? They kick the sukkah. So, but the Gemara interjects and says, one second, it's not fair. Because we Jews also have an issue that what? When it's blistering hot and we have bees and all of the different insects that are annoying us, we have a ptur that's called Mitzta'er Patur Min HaSukkah. So what's the... Let's have a little social justice here. It's not
like
fair.
Like in England when they say, you know, if it's raining and you can't... It's okay, you can make kiddush and then go inside and eat whatever.
Right, same type of idea. 100%. The answer, the Gemara says, is there's a difference between Mitzdayer and what they did, which is what? They kicked it. What does kicking represent? Not only just zilzul, but kicking represents...
It's what? Reckless. Disrespect. Careless and reckless.
That's one of them. That's disrespect. I'm saying more than that. What do you want to say, Josh?
Defiance,
same type of idea. I think it's more than that. You Baruch Hashem, you guys haven't seen little kids. You haven't seen little kids when they have a little fit. I was right before Sukkot. I was going to give this whole mahalach and the sum of what I was going to talk about, because Sukkot also is the language of not only hut, but it's from the language of yiska, which means to see, soche. And that's what Sukkot is, to have the proper vision. And I was going to talk about that. And then my son was having a fit. But right before I was walking out of the door. And when a kid has a fit, not only does he throw things at times, what does he do?
Kick.
He kicks. And that I think, believes, so it's not just degradement and belittlement, but it's not only just anger, it's saying it's my way or the highway. Kicking represents that it's my vision. And if you don't do exactly what I want, I'm going to kick. Meaning, so that's where Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat means what? What are you kicking? You're kicking because it limits your vision. Means it's my way. And that's what money could do. Money could totally blind you. And that's where in Kohelet, when we had said, it's kesef ya'aneh atakol, it also could be ye'aneh atakol. That's what Rashi says. It can afflict you. And that's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, kina ta'ava v'kavod motzin et ha'adam min ha'olam. The idea of the ta'ava, which could be within money, the Pele Yoed says it's not only Olam Haba, it's Olam Hazeh. It could totally just take you out of what's real in this world. So with this introduction, that on one level could be very bad. The other level, it could be very good, which we said, it takes on the Kesef, Imein Kemach Ein Torah, if you use it for the right things, because we had said, Yivarecha Hashem V'yishmerach. So the question there comes back to, then understanding how to have the proper vision, and understanding how to use the money towards Bracha. That's the Im Kemach Ein Torah. And maybe we can answer that with what Avram started doing also, which is that the bracha we had said, it's Yivarecha Hashem. If you recognize that God is the one who's giving you the money, then it could be a bracha. If you use it for tzedakah, it could be a bracha. Now, if you go into the different parashiot that we talked about, it's very, very, it could be very, very clear that Ber Yosef, his name is Rav Yosef Salant, he was a darshan in the Chorva, right next to Yeshivat HaKotel. He explained that's the difference of why did Avram keep the money in the case of the beginning of the parasha, and doesn't accept the money by stone. So the truth is, it's straight out in the psukim about stone, which is what, in the case Avram Avinu, when he was using money, the language of the pasuk is it was kaved for him, it was heavy for him, which means what? It wasn't easy. It's a big responsibility. Marbe nechasim, the Mishnah says, marbe de'aga. You have too much money. And a lot of people are like, yeah, I'll take that test, but it's not so simple.
So you're not allowed to accept money if you don't have it.
Not necessarily. It's saying, what am I going to do with that money? Yeah. So therefore, Avram Avinu, when it comes to the case of stone, let's talk about the first case, when it comes by Paro. So there was a miracle that happened, the Negaim Gedolim, but that only happened in the inner chambers. Not everybody knew it. And Avram Avinu wanted to take this money and his whole Weltanschauung, his whole Hashkafat Olam is Lekro B'Shem Hashem. To let everybody should know to be an Isha Munah. So therefore, Davka, as the Pasuk says, he goes back to the places that he stayed. Not only to pay back the debts, but to show, look at this. Look at the money that I have to be able to what? To show people, look, God's with me type of idea. As opposed to Stom, he doesn't need that. Number one is he doesn't need it. Why does he not need it? Look at all the miracles that just happened. He doesn't need the money there to what? He doesn't need the money to show off about Shem Hashem, because the whole concept of the miracles of what he just did was clear to everybody that it's B'Shem Hashem.
But does that not imply that rich people have God on their side?
Not necessarily.
In terms of, you said that he would go to these people, he'd pay off their debt, and he'd say, look, I have money, I've God on my side.
Right, but it was in such a short time at that point.
Okay.
It's a good point, but that's not the conclusion I'm making. Because you can have rich people that don't recognize that also. But that, I think that's the point of the connection. As opposed to the case of Stone, well, first, even by the case of Stone, what does he say? Not as opposed to, that's what I said, by Stone, he said, I didn't need it. But there's two points there. Number one is, he says, Biladai. He says, first of all, I'm machmir for myself. He says, I know that money could really corrupt. And I know this is not what I need for my Avodat Hashem. Doesn't mean that other people can't say, you know what, I'll take the money and I need, and that's my nisayon. Okay. But even more so, what's the pasuk? The pasuk says, I'm not going to take your money and you're not going to say, v'lo tomar ani hesharti et Avram. What he basically said was what? I don't want it to be clear, which is connected to the same message, that what? That where did I get this money from? From Stone. I don't want to say that it's, that I got it from Stom or I got it from Ephron. And that comes back to the question of what is behind this concept of Sone Matonos Yechel. There is major machloket Rishonim. What is the reason why you can't accept, you should not accept? It's not clear that it's halacha, the language in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch is that it's a midat chasidut. But what would be the rationale of hating matanot?
You don't know where it's come from. Well, you don't know how they've...
That could be a nafkamina. Nafkamina, let's say I don't know where it comes from. That would be a nafkamina between different reasons. Can I then accept it even belovingly? The question is, what is the reason why? And it's connected to some of the discussions we just said right now. One answer Rashi says in Mishlei is that it's a built-in siag, which means it's a built-in fence, not to steal. Because of the danger of money, the language of the Sma is that people, as I had said, part of the introduction, people are passionate about money. To the point that what happens? You can come and steal. Because of that, Chazal tell you, you should know, you better go to the extreme. Sone matanos. Yechya. You want to be able to be alive and not to be a bandit and stealing? Sone matanos yechya. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, similar, but already it might be a mixture. I'd say the other extreme. Let's say Sony Matanos Yechya, which is connected to Stone, V'lo Tomar Ani Hesharti Et Avram. You know what that is? That's saying it's a lack of bitachon. That for me, I don't want Matanos. You know who gives me? The Ribbono Shalom gives me. I don't want to say that what? Al Tiftechu Bin Divim. Right? We say in Tefillah every morning. Don't trust in what? Your gvirs. That you're going to get hand-me-downs. You got to want? You have to have bitachon in Hashem.
But isn't that asking for, or kind of assuming that you're going to get the hand-me-downs from Hashem, saying that it's like the starving man who doesn't accept bread from the passerby because he thinks God's going to drop it into his lap?
Oh, good. Again, the question is, how far are the extremes you're going to go, correct?
Like, this is, well, from The first opinion says that you shouldn't accept money or presents because it will lead to you stealing.
Right.
And the second one says
the second approach, which is Matsudas David in Mishle, says you have to have bitachon in Hashem.
Yeah.
So therefore, we might have.
And therefore, you shouldn't accept presents.
Therefore, you shouldn't accept presents.
How do I get to that link? I don't understand how accepting presents would impact on
your bitachon.
Yeah, your
bitachon. Now think about what Stone. What did it say by Stone? Said v'lo tomar ani hesharti et Avram. What is the language? Why does he not take it? Who's the one who gave me the presents? Who's the one who made me rich? Not God. Stone. Meaning, what happens back to what we had said? I think I gave a good introduction. What does money do? Money blinds you. It blurs your vision. And it says, I'm the one who did the work. I'm the one who's able to be successful. And don't tell me that God is in the picture, even.
So should the rule not just say recognize where your money actually comes from as opposed to not accept it?
Oh, good, good. So then that's where we have to go to. These are the nafkaminas of a lot of the cases. I'll tell you, there's one other opinion of the Rabbeinu Bachai. The Rabbeinu Bachai says I see the Rabbeinu Bachai as a middle approach between these two approaches. Rabbeinu Bachai says it's called a chiastic structure. That basically you have an X, which means that what do you have? You have Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first Dibra. And the tenth, and what is the tenth one? Lo tachmur, right? So he says the first and the tenth are connected, which means what? You want to believe it. So he says because people are so lahut after money, people are so into money, you have this chemda, this tava that can take you out of this world. Then he says that again, there's a siag to be able of soni matanos yechet to uproot chemda. And within that, once you're able to do that, you're able to have the emuna in Hashem. So he connects. It's almost like a conglomerate of these two interpretations.
Does that go for the same with 2 and 8 and 3 and 7? And
yeah, that's what. Yeah, the truth is, you have to work it out. I was staring at the yesterday. I was davening mincha in JFS, and I was staring at the Aseres HaDibros and trying to figure out how all those work.
Yeah.
I think it does. Some of it might be a stretch. I was actually looking at Kabeira Savicha Vetimecha and Lo Tirzach. I'm like, how does that work? I was thinking about it, but I think it does work.
Yeah.
And I think Mefarshim even explain it.
Could you infer that God's put money on the world to like test us to see how we like keep to his...
Some of it, yes. Well, again, the question is how far you go with that. Some people would say everything's a test.
But money specifically, because you find it...
Money specifically is definitely, I think, a major test.
Yeah.
I think it's major that you see so much ink time is really brought up. We have a Choshen Mishpat, the halacha that way. Those are some of the nafkaminas that we're going to continue when we get to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to end right now, but some of the nafkaminas we're going to pick up from here. We're going to pick up the sugya in part two, which is going to be, we're going to get it even to more a more hot topic we're going to get to, which is how does people in Kola then accept Matanot? How do you then accept Matanot,
How can you justify Kola? You
know, right,
People think God will provide, but you know, I strongly feel against people sitting all day and learning and not doing a job to do anything.
As I said, I knew it's loaded, and therefore that's why I wanted to pick up, and we'll see the sources inside next time. Dealing with Sony, if it's Sony Matanos Yechia, so how can a person who's learning in Kol accept these Matanos? So we're going to have to deal with that and see the Shulchan Aruch and see the Taz and see the Shach and see what people say about that, just to understand it, even if you vociferously disagree, to understand where it comes from. To end off, again, one of the ideas could very well be I want to close some of the loose ends that I left off. We said Harotza Leanot Ke'alisha, you can get Hana. So one could say the reason why you can get Hana, there's different reasons. The Marsha talks about the answer there is it's special because it's Hachnasas Orchim. And there it's a special case, meaning he's coming to the extreme, which is Soni Matanos Yechia. Absolutely, it's an absolute. But that's an exception because you're a passerby, you're over baderech, and over baderech is also halachically considered like an ani, and therefore you can accept the bed and these type of things. That's like one approach, which comes back to maybe a little bit what Joey had said, that there could be a distinction maybe between a big matana versus a small matana. Maybe. Okay, especially if you want to say that maybe by a big matana, then you might have a big problem. It's gonna poke you and incite you for gezel. Also about bitachon might not be a good enough kamina, but like a little matana. If it's gezel, so one could say, look, it's a slippery slope. But one could say no. That for bitachon it could be nothing. For gezel, I could take a small little matana. It's not going to be the biggest of deal if I do one small matana. Again, depends if you're addicted or whatever, these type of things. Just the one thing to we have a lot. Oh, so I wanted to say I wrote Zalei a note. Another answer that's given is where it's really for the hana of the person giving it. When I'm giving the matana, like Elisha was an adam. Mechubad. Yeah. Therefore, maybe in that case, you're allowed to then receive it. Again, because it's not my lacking of bitachon, because the only reason I'm doing it is for what? It's to help the other person. Okay, that's what the Ritva says in Maseches Bava Basra and others, maybe that you can understand. That's why that type of it, especially if it's again, even by Gezel, it might be okay there, that, because maybe you could say not that way, but okay. The last piece, and then we'll continue in Eretz Yisrael, continue maybe putting out these nafkaminas, and then I said, talking about a little bit more about Torah and Malacha based on the sugya, is we say, in benching, v'na'al tatzricheinu, Hashem Elokeinu, lo lidei manat basar v'dam, v'lo lidei alvatam, kim liyadcha amlea b'tucha k'toshav, archavar shalom ha'shvon nikolem li'lamper. Okay, I don't know if you paid attention to it, but we say it all the time. We say what? V'na'al tatzricheinu Hashem Elokeinu. Please God, don't make me be dependent on lo lidei halva'atam, on their loans, of basar v'dam v'lo lidei, but rather your extended hand. Right? Am le'ab tuchak toshav archavash shaloni vosh. Right? So it sounds like, first of all, that the whole point is what? Bitachon. That the reason I shouldn't accept money is because what? I should have full bitachon. Which could be enough. It could be like what the Rambam says and Rabbeinu Bachai says and what the Mitzvah says. But then I thought on Sunday, why is this brought down in Rachim? Why is that in the bracha of Rachim?
Of mercy.
Right? Maybe it should be in the... What did you say?
Of mercy.
Yeah, but it should be... What's the nature of that bracha? What is that talking about?
God being merciful.
For what?
For us.
And what's the context? What's the Rachim Nashem Elkeinu Ayisrael Mechavayu Shalayim Yirecha Val Tzio Mishkan Kvodecha Val Mishkan. What is it talking about? Yerushalayim. It's talking about Yerushalayim. So what does this have to do? If anything, it should be part of Al Aretz Val, the first brachot Hazanet Olam Kulo. Make sure when you're doing the Parnasa, make sure it's done properly. Why is it there? So I think you can answer it according to both of the Perushim. Just coming from different angles. Which is, if you understand, how do you understand Yerushalayim? You understand Yerushalayim as number one, as an ear of Makom HaVashchina. Right? Yerushalayim is the place you come, and it's not the Jerusalem syndrome, but you're able to come and really experience the Ribbono Shel Olam, both in learning Torah, Yeshiva HaKotel, learning Torah seriously, the experiences that you have seriously, where you're able to intensify and strengthen your Re'iyat Hashem. Right? The whole concept of Aliyah L'Regel is vira, to be Ro'eh, as much as possible, not that the money should blur you. Versus what? Another expression of Yerushalayim, it's known as an ir tzedek. Yerushalayim is known as the city of righteousness and justice. Therefore, again, to be able to know that should be in our ideal, what should Yerushalayim be? The Yerushalayim Shalmala should be together with the Yerushalayim Shalmata, one of justice, one of being able, not of stealing. See, either one of the pshatim that we have works in that within our ideal vision of Yerushalayim, that's why we say Vina Tatzricheinu. You guys have class now. So let me quickly finish. Literally, is a class in here?
Yeah.
Perfect. Very quickly. So most of you I'm seeing